Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310. Or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, recently selected to Super Lawyers 2017, and that's a rating service of outstanding lawyers from more than 70 practice areas. And these lawyers obtained a high degree of peer recognition, meaning they're lawyers' lawyers, and professional achievement. And from the law firm of Robertson and Anschutz is a top-rated business litigation attorney. We're very pleased to welcome Jared Cooper, who will be giving us the 411 on business litigation.
Phil, Mike, thanks for having me.
Good evening. You know, contractual disputes are very common, you know. And when contractual matters are at issue, including those related to broken or unfulfilled agreements, misrepresentation, or terms, including fraud, and the disagreements related to the interpretation of such as well, I guess that is considered the bread and butter of why you're an attorney.
That's right. That's the bread and butter of business litigation.
Right. And you're also board certified in business litigation.
That's correct.
And what is it? What's the process for board certification for this particular for business litigation?
Well, you have to be in practice a certain number of years, devote a certain amount of your practice to the process of business litigation. You have to have handled at least 25 matters, I believe. You have to have had at least one business litigation jury trial. And then, of course, there's the examination that they give you along with the additional credits that you have to take in order to make sure that you've learned your material and can consider yourself a specialist.
And that's an all-day exam.
I believe so, as I recall, yes.
Absolutely. Well, you were board certified in what year?
2013.
Oh, wow. Wow, so it's still fresh as well.
Fresh enough, yes.
Yeah, one thing I see more than anything in our practice, because we do have a little bit of a crossover, we handle intellectual property, but it's usually for business owners. We're always hearing about ADR, alternative dispute resolutions. Logic would dictate that more of these cases, because they're business owner against business owner, are going to settle sometime within mediation. Or sometime around that time, rather than rolling the dice and going through to a trial. What's your take on that? And what are ways that businesses can effectively use mediation? Let's just start with that.
Well, I think first and foremost, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
There you go.
So the first thing you want to do when you're forming your contracts, either with your employees, with your customers, you want to consider what kind of provisions you want to put in there. And provisions regarding mediation and arbitration can be critical for savings over time. Mediation is a process where an independent third party will sit and listen to the two sides and will encourage them to come to an agreement. It's non-binding. There's no requirement that you settle the claim, but if you can, it's obviously to your benefit because the earlier you settle, the less expensive. As you know, litigation can be very, very expensive. Mm-hmm. With respect to arbitration, that's typically binding, although there are situations where it might not be. But with respect to arbitration, you have a third party who's sitting and listening in judgment, and they will come to a decision regarding your claim, and that decision will bind you. It's very difficult to set aside an arbitration decision in court, but they can be advantageous because the arbitration process is less expensive. Ultimately, it's a shorter process. There's less in the way of discovery. The rules are slightly more lax depending on the arbitral authority that you're using, typically something like the American Arbitration Association.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, the cost is significantly less. So the needs of each business owner are different.
Great point.
Yeah, and not every business needs an arbitration provision, but there are those where they may be subject to claims where you might want to consider it.
Right, and in employment contracts, you'll often see ADR provisions, especially with larger employers, and you'll also find them in collective bargaining agreements and traditional labor relations.
We often get criticized as lawyers for giving the answer, it depends. and your answer just now kind of illustrates that. Not all businesses are the same. Not all situations are the same. And I think there's a healthy debate out there in the legal community as to whether or not arbitration should be favored or not. I guess it depends on what side of the V you are on in the litigation and perhaps even whether you're a big company, a small company. What's your take on when arbitration can be better than litigation and when it's not?
Well, if you're a large corporation, it may be beneficial if you anticipate that there's going to be a large number of claims.
Gotcha.
Because certainly you don't want to spend a lot of time in court. But on the other hand, with respect to the court system, it can be difficult for a consumer to sue a large company, and there can be a cost-benefit analysis about whether it's appropriate. With small companies, I think it's probably beneficial, small companies and employers, because if you anticipate litigation, you want to make sure that you're keeping the costs down, and to the extent that you can avoid those sort of costs which you have to build into your business plan, arbitration, I think, is a very effective way of doing that.
For our business owner clients, can you draft an arbitration clause in your contract where the, you know, arbitration would be confidential, for example, so your business is not aired on the news or by
That's
somebody
actually a great question.
Sitting yeah. there for a trial?
Typically, you can. You can agree to confidentiality in both mediation and arbitration, and a lot of contracts, especially employment contracts, will call for confidentiality between the employer and employee in that relationship.
How do I actually pay for a civil litigation attorney? Like some attorneys do contingencies. Some can't do it because of the amount of time that needs to be put in there. So how would I pay you?
Well, like Mike says, it depends. But for the most part, business litigation is typically an hourly process. It's about the costs and the fees in prosecuting or defending a litigation claim.
Mm-hmm.
So typically it's hourly.
And mediation, what is your take on that in terms of a process that you think is so vital? Because every case has to be mediated, correct?
Every case does not have to be mediated. It's not a legal
requirement. Oh,
really? Yeah, it's not a legal requirement. No.
Like in personal injury, you have to have court-ordered mediation.
There are certain ones, but in the course of a litigation, you can dispense with mediation. It's not – if the parties have a black and white issue, you know it's not necessary, and the courts typically will understand that and won't necessarily require that you mediate. I think mediation is usually a good process. It is the one time that during the course of a litigation that the lawyer from the other side can speak directly to the other side's client. And you're in the room together and you can talk freely
right.
in the presence of a mediator and explain your client's position. And in that way, a lot of times, it's very, very helpful.
Now, when you go to court, is it before a jury or just a judge?
It can be both. You can have jury trials or non-jury trials. Arbitrations can be in front of an individual or a panel of individuals. Usually those, if it's a panel, they're people in a related profession.
Right.
So it depends on what you agree to. Your contract can actually bind you to a certain kind of proceeding. You can bind yourself to arbitration. You can bind yourself to a non-jury trial. You can waive the right to a jury trial. You can require a jury trial. So business owners have a lot of ability to build that into their agreements.
Now, when you win for me and you get a judgment, what's the next step? I mean, once I obtain my judgment, then what?
Well, again, it depends. if you're talking, because there are multiple types of judgments, mm-hmm. sometimes, as an example, in the employment law process, sometimes you're trying to enjoin conduct. If someone is, as an example, you're concerned that they're going to steal a trade secret,
right?
You get an injunction against them to prohibit that. There's no monetary damages, but what you do is you monitor it and make sure that they're complying with the court order. If you're talking monetary damages, mm-hmm. then it's a collections process. And there are a host of tools in what they call proceeding supplementary, which enable you to collect funds to which the court has ruled that you are entitled.
Now, with business litigation, is it strictly B2B or is it consumer to business as well?
It can be anything. It can be consumer to business. My focus is working with businesses primarily, but mm-hmm. business litigation certainly encompasses consumer actions against businesses in a defensive posture. I would say absolutely.
Is the a verbal agreement worth the paper it's written on?
Boy, it depends. With respect to the sale of land, no. There's a law in Florida called the Statute of Frauds. And what the Statute of Frauds does is it governs what oral agreements are enforceable. So certain types of things are accepted, like the sale of land. You can't sell land with a verbal contract. But also, there are other limitations. As an example, any agreements have to be performed within the scope of 1 year. But other oral agreements can be enforceable if there are certain elements met. One of the things is performance. Did one side perform? Then usually you can hold, yes, there is an agreement, and the other party's bound.
But there could be like a paper trail, I guess, or even today's modern technology, text. You know, that could be, I'm going to do this for you for $500. You got a text. That's in writing, but not.
Well, it is. Believe it or not, that counts as a writing.
Really?
Absolutely. If you and an opposing
sure.
party have come to an agreement and there is a written record of it,
right.
No matter what format it takes, that's an agreement in writing.
And sometimes a text message or an email could be evidence of an oral agreement, and not necessarily that somebody agreed in the writing, but, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's much more complicated than we're giving it credit for here.
Sure.
Under Florida law, it's going to come down to, you know, were the essential terms of the agreement agreed upon in the discussion. Typically, I would say, if you're a business owner, don't do things
by text.
don't do things orally. Write them down. That's always the best indication of what a party means.
But it's also good to hear that a handshake still has some value.
Absolutely. It certainly does. If you have your contractor come over to your house and you ask him to, repair some windows in your
right.
house, and he performs the work, you're obligated
sure.
to pay him, and it's enforceable.
What if I pay him and he doesn't pay the subcontractors?
Well, then that's between him and the subcontractors. But ultimately, it may come back to bite you.
I would probably have to pay twice.
Well, I mean, there are certainly a circumstance where that could happen. It depends
right.
if they follow the construction law statutes. If you're having work done at your house, what contractors will do is they prepare something called a notice to owner, and after that, it becomes a document in writing, and your obligations become clear.
Now, as part of your practice is that, let's say I have an installment of storm windows, and I want to have a very solid contract that's going to protect my rights. Is that something that you also do, or is it more given to your firm to do?
Well, typically we would work with the businesses that prepare those contracts, mm-hmm. and usually they're form contracts on behalf of the installers, the material men, the laborers, whoever's performing the work. But typically you'll have a contract when you're doing a job of that kind of size.
Gosh, it goes by so fast. I get confused just real quick between commercial litigation and business litigation. Is there an actual difference?
Is there a difference? I mean, practically no. I mean, I would say that if you're talking about commercial litigation, typically you're talking about something that's more business to business, whereas business litigation is more all-encompassing. It's a larger subgroup. Business litigation encompasses everything from breach of contracts to business torts to uniform commercial code issues. It's a very broad, all-encompassing area of the law.
You know, as always, it does go by too fast, Mike. It,
yep.
it really does.
Jared can, he can go on for 3 hours if we just keep asking questions.
Three hours, even more than that.
Well, business litigation covers so much, and it, because of the unique aspect of business and the consumer aspect as well. And you protect our rights, and you can make us whole, and that's more important than anything else, sincerely. What is the best way to locate yourself, Jared Cooper?
I'm easy to find on the web. Google my name, Jared Cooper, and business litigation, I'll pop right up.
That's like Gary Cooper.
Right. And it's J-A-R-R-E-T-T.
You've got it.
So that can be spelled a few different ways. I have a friend with a different spelling. So.
Well, Jared Cooper out of Boca Raton.
That's right.
You are board certified in business litigation, and the name of your firm is?
Robertson, Anschutz & Schneid.
You notice how I dodged that bullet.
I thought you did well, really well.
Thank you for coming on. I'd like you to hang out towards the end of the program. We'll be right back after the station identification.
Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310. Or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review. Recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar. Featuring Michael Santucci of the law firm Santucci Priori. Practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. Located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Reach them at 500law.com. or 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Legal News and Review is back from our short recess. I wanted to jump right in here and also thank Jared Cooper for coming on. A fine attorney. And
he's a super lawyer.
He is. He is a super lawyer for 2017. Congratulations.
And Gary Singer's been a super lawyer for how long now?
I think 8 years.
8 years.
And yourself as well,
I
right?
I think about 4 or 5 years in a row.
Well, I'm surrounded by super lawyers.
Yeah.
I just got the notification of 2017
of
super lawyer.
Lawyers of steel.
Yeah. You know, Gary, you have an interesting this week's Legal News and Review. And why don't you take it away?
I'm going to give this one's actually kind of almost a favorite all my court reporter friends. Great case, and it talks to the value of spending those couple dollars to bring a court reporter. It's Loundon versus Bayview Loan Servicing, a local loan servicer. You can find it at 41 Florida Law Weekly, Delta 51 Charlie. It was issued December 21st, 2016. A claim not raised before the trial court may not be raised for the first time on appeal, which our lawyer listeners know, and a claim raised before the trial court that is not properly preserved and absent a transcript of the hearing on the claim or a transcript reflecting the evidentiary support for the claim is useless. So let me go into it. In this Third District Court of Appeal case, the borrower had filed a motion to dismiss the foreclosure, including an allegation that the borrower is not properly served a copy of the complaint. As you know, Phil, you got to be put on notice by being served of your lawsuit so you have a chance to answer it. They're saying that it didn't happen. That motion was dismissed, basically. It was discharged. And there was no hearing transcript of the hearing because the attorney didn't make the decision to bring a court reporter to write it down. You know, the person, the stenographer, writing everything down.
Because that costs money.
Because that costs a couple bucks there, right? A final judgment of foreclosure was subsequently entered in favor of the bank, and the borrower appealed. On appeal, the borrower raised two arguments. The bank didn't meet the pre-suit notice requirements by sending them by failing to put some technical information in the letter sent to the borrower, which is always a loser, and that the borrower was not properly served a copy of the complaint, which very likely could have been a winner. Because if you're not served, everything else goes out the window.
Sure. No due process.
No due process, no case.
It can't be electronically served then.
No, there's no electronic service in this sort of case. Okay, you can be served by publication, but not electronically. Someone has to come to your door, basically hand it to you, and if that can't happen, they have to publish in the newspaper with certain requirements, certain newspapers 2 consecutive weeks. They're saying that neither of those happened and they weren't properly served. The appellate court ruled, not surprisingly, that the borrower's first argument that the bank failed to meet the notice requirements was not raised before the trial court and could not be raised for the first time on appeal. So for those non-lawyers out there, if you don't raise something at the trial court level, you can't bring it up for the first time on appeal. All the appellate court can do in order to correct a trial court mistake was actually look at a trial court mistake. So if you never even bothered to raise the issue, you can't raise it for the first time on appeal. So
that's a matter of record and law then.
Yes, exactly. And so that kind of reiterated something that most attorneys and most better attorneys know anyway. They also ruled that the appellate court ruled that the borrower's second argument was not preserved for appeal because the borrower failed to provide a transcript of the hearing for which the borrower's motion to dismiss was based on lack of service. Now, mind you, that a transcript is not the only way to preserve evidence for appeal, but it is one of the best ways. So because they didn't opt to bring that court reporter and it wasn't other sufficient evidence on the record for the appellate court to even look at it again, the case couldn't have been fixed. So had they done that, they might have very well had a very different outcome. The lesson learned here is to always retain a court reporter to ensure that you have a hearing transcript of any possible ruling that you might want to appeal should you lose on the issue. Likewise, always be sure to raise your valid arguments when you're in trial court. So what are they saying? Make sure your attorney is prepared and make sure they're preserving evidence for appeal. And they say one of the appellate attorneys, and we do a lot of appellate work, will tell you one of the most important things for a trial level attorney to do is not just win, but if you lose in a way that we can fix it later on appeal by preserving the evidence and hiring a court reporter. So it's a great case, and it kind of reiterates what the better attorneys already know. But, you know, it doesn't cost a lot to bring a court reporter. I think it's $85 or $95 to have them show up. And then if you want the transcript later, that obviously costs more. It can oftentimes be good insurance to preserve an issue like this one where, and I think this was the appellate court's way of saying that had you properly raised it, we would have come to a different outcome, or they probably wouldn't have brought it up to begin with. Mm-hmm. So some good advice there for attorneys and for borrowers that are working with their foreclosure attorney. Yeah, it's a couple more dollars you got to pay out, but it can very well save your home.
There's so many people out there that, you know, they get served with a foreclosure complaint and they either don't know how to find an attorney to help them, or they don't want to pay,
or they don't
can't pay, and they try to represent themselves. But this is a perfect, not to pat us on the back as attorneys too much, but this is a perfect example. If you go to an attorney after you already have a judgment of foreclosure, there's only so much that attorney can do.
Good point.
You know, we're not superheroes.
And because you didn't preserve it,
you didn't know what to preserve. You didn't know what arguments you need to put on the record.
No, you're absolutely
right. Super lawyers, but not superheroes.
Exactly. Very good.
Full circle.
You know, so many people will come into our office and say, oh, I got a letter from the bank. Oh, let me see it. It's a lawsuit that's like not answered for 6 months. Like, no, you got sued and you're about to lose your home. Oh, the bank can't really take my home, can they? Next week, you know. So the truth is, no, seriously, it's funny, but it's actually very serious because people don't realize the seriousness.
Real quick, can you appeal the appeal?
Can you appeal only if they let you? And in this case, because it has an opinion, it may be appealable, but it's a total loser because the appellate court really got it right on every case. Sometimes you can ask for a rehearing, or a reconsideration, basically. So you say, hey, appellate court, you may have missed this factor. Can you reconsider? And believe it or not, I think it's like 10 or 15% of the time. Wow. They will actually change their mind a little bit if you raise a good point in that rehearing. Typically what you see is they either issue no opinion but an agreement called a per curiam affirmed or a PCA, which means that we're not saying why, but the trial court was right. Or in this case, they do raise an issue, but the Supreme Court's not going to look at it because it's not an important issue. It's very settled law. You got to have a hearing transcript or at least a record to go forward on appeal. So in this case, this is game
There's
over.
There's a lot of heads nodding in agreement here.
Yeah, this is game over.
You took a situation that at first I wasn't know where you're going, but it was fascinating. It really was.
You know, law is especially being involved in a lawsuit, is very technical. People think that that just because they're right, they're going to win their lawsuit. And frankly, they couldn't be more wrong. You need someone to go work the bits and pieces and the machinery of the system in your favor. I like to say that lawyers are like the grease between the wheels of society because otherwise it all breaks down. When you have a lawsuit, you can't just go and say, oh, I didn't pay my mortgage because they're bad or because I'm having hard times. You got to work the technical aspects of that and any kind of case.
So what you're saying, it wasn't wheel that changed mankind. It was the hole inside the wheel, and it was that grease.
Absolutely.
That made it work.
Hey, look, without the grease, your car's not making it very far.
On that note, why don't you take us off here?
Well, thank you for listening to me talk about court reporters, and thank our guests tonight for coming on and talking about some very interesting stuff, and our co-hosts as well. It's always a pleasure, and congratulations again, Michael, on being chosen again as a super lawyer, and Jared as well.
You too,
and
Gary.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm happy to see that again. You always worry after you've had it for a few years that all of a sudden you're not going to have. Like, what did I do wrong? You know. And to all our listeners out there, I want to thank you, wish you a good night, and as always, folks,
be legal!
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448. Legal News and Review. Remember, be legal.
Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310 or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.